This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 34 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today our guests are the Capricorn Witch and her slave Ivy. Here's our hosts Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and here's another episode of the Kinky Cast. Across the table are two lovely people, and I do mean lovely, Beast. That's you.
Well, you do have your glasses on, so I can't argue with that point, but I can your taste.
Fine, be that way.
Well, as long as Chrissy finds me lovely. Because we have Chrissy in the studio with us today.
Hello, hello.
And Chrissy, through the magic of Skype and Ma Bell, are bringing us...
Capricorn Witch and Slave Ivy, all the way from Las Vegas.
Welcome.
Hello, we're glad to be here.
Thank you, very glad to be here.
We're going to be talking about a topic that will be the intersection of leather and spirituality. For the folks that don't know who Capricorn Witch is, she is the wonderful priestess who was leading the ritual itself for the past few years. She identifies as a pagan with classical training and degrees in Celtic and Egyptian traditions. She served as a high priestess of small covens in Florida prior to moving to Las Vegas. Now she is mostly a solo practitioner. Capricorn Witch has been on the spiritual path for over 25 years. She found a home in the leather community after being in the lifestyle for almost 20 years and has been incorporating her spiritual rites with leather activities. Capricorn Witch is a master, privileged to own and call as her wife, the lovely Slave Ivy. Slave Ivy identifies as mostly agnostic and leans heavily on the Buddhist traditions. Since her servitude to Capricorn Witch, she has been learning pagan traditions and experimenting with her master in sex magic. She has been in the leather lifestyle for 5 years. Thank you both for joining us tonight. Tonight we're speaking with Capricorn Witch and her partner, Slave Ivy. Hello, Capricorn Witch.
Well, hello.
And Slave Ivy, greetings.
Greetings.
Now, the topic tonight is the intersection of leather and spirituality. And from what I'm reading and what I know of both of you, I think this is something that will resonate very strongly with you. One thing that interests me is the time that you spent as a high priestess. Capricorn, may I call you Capricorn?
Absolutely.
Do you feel this was important to you as you moved into kink and leather?
Absolutely. I think it was foundational because... the basis of, especially when you're working in a coven, is really power exchange, power gathering, channeling, etc. That's what we do most of our work with. And really what you're trying to do is get a diverse group of people and transport them along with yourself for a stated purpose into the realm of the spiritual. And so I truly think that that aligns heavily. It's very synchronous with what we do in the leather lifestyle when we are really engaged in the power dynamic. However that is, however we identify, we are spirit beings exchanging, riding the flux together. And so, you know, that to me was the training ground for, you know, being in the leather lifestyle.
Fantastic. I'm so sorry I didn't have an opportunity to meet you in person. I think that we would have had great conversations at South.
Well, you have to come to South next year. We want to see you at South.
Thank you. Now, were there any pivotal moments that stand out as you think about this? Any aha moments that you had as you were beginning to move into kink and the leather lifestyle?
Yes. I was really attracted, first and foremost, I think a lot of people get into, you know, the lifestyle kind of tangentially. I had been on my spiritual path for many years, but I was in a heterosexual relationship, and we started to explore swinging. And that was nice. And then one day I found my inner sadist, who had always been there, but I had done a really good job of hiding her and discounting that that person was there. I thought it was dangerous. And you know, being somewhat raised in a Judeo-Christian household, it was like, oh my God, I'm demon-possessed, but let's not anybody know that. So when I started into that and started learning more about myself, and this occurred in my probably late 20s, it was definitely a learning. And I could see that there were so many similarities. And I found that the more I opened up my sexuality and my spirit, I realized they are one and the same. Why am I categorizing something over here and separating it so much? I am not a fragmented creature. I do not want to be a fragmented creature. I want to live fully, you know, full-blooded all the way. And you can't do that, or at least in my opinion, you cannot do that by denying your spirit its voice in everything. And so that really kind of started that journey. I started looking at that. And then with the leather, you know, I was very, very quiet and calm and very underground in my dominance and lifestyle, because I am kind of a known public figure in healthcare. And, you know, visiting the local mistress to also get your healthcare doesn't quite jive in the small community. I was Lord. So you can imagine. So anyway, it was very, very quiet. I didn't go to munches. I didn't go to conventions. Well, I will tell you that when I met Slave Ivy, she had been with a previous mistress who was very recognized in the leather world, you know, and she was with her for a while, and she always wanted to go to conventions. And she said to me, she says, "You're leather, you just don't know it." And I had no clue what the heck she was talking about. But I said, "No, I'm a dominant, I'm a mistress, this is what it is." I had never heard of leather before. And it was my privilege to go to Self 2 years ago, after having met Catherine a couple of times, and said, okay, well, maybe since it's in Atlanta, it's far enough away, I might not run into anybody who will know me. And I went, my God, these people are me, and they're living it, and they're living it at all different levels and all different things. And it was such a freeing experience. I realized, wow, you know, yeah, this is home. I like this. I want to learn more about what this community of like-minded people are.
That's fantastic. Yes, I'm sorry. I missed you at Self.
I was at Self and this year for the second year, and we were there a couple of years ago. And this year, it kind of struck me that this is a family of like-minded people, more so than most other cultures that come under this kinky umbrella that we are.
I would agree with you, Beast. I totally would agree with you, because, you know, there was no judgment. There was no, it was just like, you're cool. You are, I recognize you in me and me and you, and whatever your kink is, that's great. Tell me more. That was the theme. And that was so freeing and wonderful. And that's really how it is when you're in the circle practicing. You're bringing your best self, and others are bringing their best self, and you're just exchanging and living in that energy.
So it's still the power exchange. It's just the purposes are a little bit different.
I would agree.
I'd like to go back for a moment. You made a statement about how you didn't want to live fragmented. And personally, I know that I'm a highly spiritual being. I've recently been certified Reiki level 2. I would love to become master level. And I just really have always felt energy in me and around me. And spiritually, I have very deep beliefs. But I found that many things have helped me to grow in this path that I'm on, and that would include kink and leather too. For example, I identify as slave, and maybe Ivy might want to talk about this a little bit, but mm-hmm. which I think it steps over from a submissive. And submissive would, I'm not discounting submissives in my thoughts, but to get there is for me removing blocks, self-imposed or imposed by cultural norms, society, and to remove them to help me grow into the place of slave, the spiritual aspects of that too. And I think that kink and leather provides opportunities for those blocks to be removed. Maybe it's through the use of the tools people call toys, but in this workings that I'm thinking of, they're really tools that aid both the top and the bottom in their quest to enhance their spirituality through their scenes and to grow as spiritual beings. What are your thoughts about this? Ivy, do you have any thoughts on this?
I do. I would agree with you. I have, you know, everyone says in the lifestyle, oh, your hard limits will be changed before you know it, you'll be doing it. And that's true, actually. I started out with certain preconceived notions and experiences, but when I met Capricorn, I wasn't anticipating that spiritual component to our relationship, and the barriers, the quote, issues that I've had in my life through kink and my experiences with her are just coming down. They, you know, it's a progression, but it's actually amazing. It not only helps me in the lifestyle and in my relationship with her, but in my life in general. It's just like the complete package, you know, just helping me to grow spiritually and emotionally. I would agree with exactly what you said.
Capricorn, what do you think about that?
And I would actually have to echo Ivy in that. I think there is a growth. I think there's a misnomer in many, especially outsiders to our life, that, you know, the doms do and the slaves receive, or whatever you want to call it that way. But that's the true power dynamic. But truly, through the experience of this, the spirituality, and I've started working with Slave Ivy for sex magic, which is a powerful bonding agent between us. But also it helps us do a couple of things. We use sex magic to focus on our goals, our mutual goals. We have found through prior relationships and reflection upon that, that where those relationships really stumbled was, wow, communication, imagine that, but really on absolute manifestation and constant reiteration of your shared goals. Are you both on the same page at the same time, and are you really working towards it? So we utilize the sex magic and that focus, that spirituality, to be aligned on at all times, and then at times to also manifest our desires. We are always working on deepening, broadening our experiences, things together. But what I have found is that I think, like I said, some people come into relationships thinking, well, the doms just, you know, pull or force or extract or something out of the slave, and then they exploit that. Absolutely not true. It is the height of exquisite, just exquisite exchange when that slave is entirely open and not giving just her body, just her mind, but you feel that vibration has gone to the higher level of spirit, and you are there too because you're giving back in your domness, and then you have a shared goal, and maybe that shared goal that time is just to get to that space. That has been so growing for me that it's actually, you know, we've had some transcendent moments where some clarity, some additional clarity has come in, and I've started to realize, wow, you know, as I said before, fragmentation. You know, at work, I'm very, you would not know, nobody would ever know, that I'm in this lifestyle, very conservative, etc. You would not know that about me. However, I had the sudden realization through some of my discussions with our leather friends and just through some of the work that Ivy and I have done that, again, I want that full integration of myself living fully in every part of my life. In fact, I would say I don't want parts of my life. Certainly there's boundaries and there's parameters and there's social constructs. I respect that absolutely. But I want to be and live fully and openly in every aspect of my life. I don't want to hide that piece of me. And, you know, if I'm not running around, you know, dominy-dom, the true spiritual dominance comes through, and it's gentle and it's nurturing and it's fulfilling and life creative. It isn't crushing and killing. But the sadist in me really likes that too. Let's get that straight, you know.
Well, you have to have a little light and a little dark, you know, it's a little balance there. One thing that I've been thinking about up to this podcast was, in our society today, we don't have rituals. We don't have rites of passage. We don't have things that help us move on as beings. They don't exist anymore. You know, children live at home until they're 32, and you know, and they're babied until they're 20, and it's just, the people don't grow up. They don't face challenges and ordeals, and I think the ordeals in life help us grow. The ordeals that we create, orchestrate, and plan in the dungeons often, I think, facilitate growth, spiritual growth, individual growth, emotional growth. Historically, you know, there are references in art and literature depicting many activities that mirror a typical Saturday night in the dungeon for many of us. And culturally, as a society, I think we as a whole are missing this element. Those of us who identify as kinky or leather, I think we have the ability to tap into this source of spiritual power and this growth that's available to us, and this wonderful light if we can tap it. And I think that you might agree with that too.
I would definitely agree with that, and I would say that was, I think, my training. And because when you, most of the spiritual traditions, whatever you are, I can speak for my own, both of those in seeking entrance, degrees, to become a high priestess, etc., to be worthy to lead, required significant ordeal. Not really to prove myself to those that would confer the degree upon me, but really to prove to myself that I wanted it bad enough and that I was that spirit creature that could do that. So when I came into the leather lifestyle, started seeing those things and experiencing some for myself and wanting to move into that realm, it felt natural, it felt real. And I definitely identify with the ordeal mechanism as a transcendence. It is a mechanism to move there. And I agree. So I think that's, I think you're spot on with that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a compliment. I appreciate that very much. Ivy, I'd like to ask you, from your perspective, what are some of the more sublime spiritual aspects of your relationship? You know, we're familiar with the term power exchange and energy within a scene and energy within our relationships. How does this affect your relationship in a spiritual manner?
Well, you know, honestly, I can say that in lifestyle, I have never experienced fully a spiritual connection until I met Capricorn. And it kind of happened by accident. And after a play session, I remember thinking, what was that? It was a very, it's hard for me to articulate in words the whole spiritual component. But it's very important to me. Before I even met and even got into a lifestyle, I had kind of leaned on Buddhist traditions and, you know, I used to say to other people who were into Buddhism too, namaste, which basically means the spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you. And it always used to be kind of humdrum and ho-ho and whatever. And I never really understood mindfulness and being in the present moment and the true term, or the true meaning, should I say, the word namaste until literally we've had some transcendent moments in play and sex magic. And it just dawned on me, that's what that means. The spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you. It's such a fulfilling feeling, and it's hard for me to describe verbally exactly what that's all about. like people might hear this and say, well, what do they mean transcendent? What do they mean the feel? It's just pure emotion and presence and connection with this other person that is just incredible.
I understand.
The mindfulness is right there. You're right there with them, and it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is wonderful.
I understand.
I think that's the best way I can describe it.
I think you did a great job describing it. I understand exactly what you're saying.
But Capricorn, I heard you chuckle when Slave Ivy started the story. So I think there's another part to be told yet.
Oh, yeah. So the reason I chuckled was because I think I scared her so bad, I think she almost wanted to leave. We didn't realize spiritual transcendence could be a hard limit. You know, no, it was very funny because, you know, she speaks that way. And I will have to tell you that I at another time had that experience with her that she was not quite aware of. It was when I fell in love with her, and it was just amazing, you know, but I was so scared because I had not felt that intensely so quickly with a being before. I had felt it at different times and had it with different people and different connections, but it's not something you can just, you know, flip the switch and have happen. And so I was intent and I wanted to see what would happen, and I scared myself. You know, and it was good, and I wanted more of it.
It is good, and I'm just imagining the exchange between the two of you at that time. It had to be really fantastic. I'm jelly. I'm envious.
It was good, and I think when we recognized it, it was like, you know, we both when Ivy's talking, I know exactly what period she's talking about there, and I know exactly when that happened. And I just looked at her, and I could see where she was, and I was in the same place. And you can feel without touching. You could have been across the room and know that you were both in that same space. And that was just incredible. It was just an incredible comfort feeling. It was like being home.
I've heard that expression before. I understand.
Awesome.
Slave Ivy, you come to this from a Buddhist background, Buddhist leaning.
I wouldn't say that I was raised Christian, and it wasn't until about 10 years ago I got introduced to the concepts of Buddhism from an ex. Who was into that. It was all about, you know, being mindful, being present, and, you know, the concept of compassion and kindness for others. And I just grabbed onto it and, you know, researched it further and realized, wow. You know, and I've been exposed here and there. The only reason I say Buddhist or Buddhism, what I identify with, is number one, because I identify with that. But I don't even like to put a label on it, because if you were to ask me a question about, well, what are, you know, specific technical questions about Buddhism, I really couldn't tell you those. It's not like I've been versed in Buddhism, but everything I read and hear and the things that I've done completely resonate with me. I don't like labels, but so I would say for the past 10 years, and even with having a child, instilling in him the concepts of kindness, compassion, openness, being mindful of your actions, your words, what it is that you do. Meditation is extremely important. It gets you in the present moment and relaxes the body and the mind. So I hesitate to say I'm a Buddhist in general, because I almost don't feel that way.
But many of the spiritual methods that you have taken from that sounds like they have served you well in your leather journey.
Absolutely. It translated completely over and in my leather journey.
And do you think they would translate as well for somebody from the top side, work better as a submissive, or is there a difference in your mind?
You know, honestly, there's not a difference in my mind. You could be top, bottom, slave, submissive. Those kind of things I think, work in all areas. I wouldn't say, oh, it's better for a slave or it's better for a top. Mindfulness and all those things that come along with being in the present moment is true. It's universal, actually. It's for everyone. And it certainly works very well in lifestyle. I mean, if you think about it, if I'm given a task or if I'm in a scene, the number one thing that Capricorn desires and demands at times of me is to be present. Be present, be right here, be with me, pay attention. So certainly it translates in slavedom, so to speak. You know, I can't speak for DOMS, but I can't imagine instructing someone or being in a scene as a top and not being mindful. So I think it's just a universal truth to me. That's the way it is. That's how I would say.
I agree with you, Slave Ivy. I think you're right about that. Yep, I think so. And I wouldn't want to be bottoming to somebody who wasn't paying attention.
Right.
But why?
No, been there and done that. That's not pleasant.
I know, we're no fun.
You make me work.
What is this, lazy Dom syndrome?
I'm okay with that. Well, sometimes. No, that's fine. That's fine. Capricorn, when you did the ritual itself, how was it received and what did you speak about?
Well, I think it was received very well. We had planned to have the ritual. It was a summer solstice, so we were going to do a ritual outside before the dungeons opened and after the contest. And so we were very privileged to have that space. Unfortunately, it poured and the ground was slushy, so we didn't really want to do it out there. So we had to move rather quickly to a room. And we did so very well. We actually had a lot of people helping us, you know, set up the room, etc. And I think we had about 12 people there, including myself, and I had a co-priestess. Her name is Right Hand Imp, and she is from local to Atlanta there, and I practiced with her last year as well. And so she and I have, you know, very similar backgrounds and just have a really desire to do that. And so we really had a very eclectic ritual. We tried to keep it very non-denominational. So, and we also asked this time if anyone wanted to, or felt so moved to speak, to call a quarter, to call the ancient ones, the gods, or speak in their tradition. No one did at that time, which was okay. So we helped guide and facilitate that, but really that's how it was. We also did some power, we raised some power, and I had some stones. I brought some stones into the circle that everyone could pick a couple or one or two or 18 or however many they wanted to really charge within this magical circle for goals or as an amulet, however they wanted to do it. So it was, I don't want to say it was loose. We had a good construct, but we wanted everyone to come and get out of it what they wanted. It was not my ritual. It was not her ritual. It was our ritual. And so really, we didn't have a script. We had a framework and we went from there. And I think it went pretty well. We had, it was, you know, you get that little discomfort, and I was a little afraid because, you know, these are people I've never met before. I've not practiced with them, and my whole goal was to, you know, serve them well as facilitator and make sure that everybody felt safe and comfortable and just go with the flow. I think it went pretty well. We've got some nice comments afterwards that what a great way to start off the evening after the contest and go into the dungeon with that energy. And, you know, it was just a privilege to be able to do that.
And as a participant, I will say the ladies did a marvelous job.
I bet there were a lot of people vibrating as they traveled down the hallway.
The leather community is on the edge of the modern primitive movement also.
Yes.
And we are seeing a resurgence in that and the spirituality to go with that. Are you seeing a surge in the spiritual aspects in the leather community to match?
I think so. You know, I'm not a member of a lot of groups, but just in some of the research that I've done and just, you know, being on FetLife and obviously here, you know, KinkyCast, it's out there. It's a need. And I think it's similar, I would think, to what I was looking for. Was I don't see a separation. I see an integration of that. And I agree with that, new primitive, the return to tribal. We are all searching for that basic primal, but it's already there. We just need to let it out.
Right.
And let it channel. And like you said, Chrissy, we don't have formal mechanisms for doing that. We have a wedding, we might have a communion or a graduation, but we do not have the vision quest, the ordeals, the rights of women, the blood rights of men and women. Where did they go? And so how do I even know what's expected of me in a society? That's where I like to see this coming back together, especially in leather, because we do have our rites, our protocols, our rituals, or at least, how we ethically relate to each other. And from there, we develop our ways of being. And so I think they just are synchronous.
I know that I'm seeing with that Frolicon year before this. And Frolicon, they had Elegant and Archer were facilitating a hook pull, which is a very spiritual experience in the ordeal path. And there was also a circle at Frolicon hosted by some of the neo-pagan community. And I'm with you. I'm seeing it coming in more and more. How does this mix? You both were raised in the Christian framework.
Right.
So how does all this fit with so you have a familiarity with that culture. How's all this going to fit together, do you think?
Well, I don't think, I'm kind of with Ivy, as far as labels. I identify very much as a pagan. It's just where I live. I love that. And always have been. I happen to have been raised in a household that was very fundamentalist Christian. And from there, I honor the foundation that I was given, because if you look at all these paths, whether you're in leather and you're agnostic or atheistic, or you're a Buddhist, or you're, a Native American, doesn't matter what you are, as far as your path goes, because all the paths truly do lead to the same thing. They have a commonality. Even Christianity has that. Do unto others, treat others as you would have yourself treated. I think, when you have an emotional intelligence, which is honed, especially through the leather lifestyle, because we have to communicate, we have to reflect, it demands that, your spirituality just naturally comes through. And you don't really necessarily need a label, because you can recognize it. You can recognize that you're all on the same path, and it truly is about that compassion, that empathy, that recognition of the same yet different yet the same.
I'm sitting here nodding my head. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, right.
You said it perfectly.
You turned her into a bobblehead.
Yes, I'm a bobblehead. I agree. It's so nice to hear someone say that. So nice. And I hope that many, many people will listen to this podcast and hear your wise words.
Well, I think one of the challenges we have right now, because I will tell you, my family back in Florida knows that I've been a pagan for years, doesn't like it, think I'm a devil worshiper. Okay, we'll go from there. But they'll still come over for Thanksgiving dinner. It was when I actually let them know about this other part of me, the full me, that, I am bisexual and I enjoy women, and I also, I didn't lay it all out for them, but they could put two and two together. And they couldn't understand how I would like to run around and hurt people. That was the mentality. Why do you like to hurt people? And why would you want to be with somebody who's so sick that they like to get hurt? And, that's caused a huge fragmentation, along with the fact that I'm married to a female, which, just doesn't pass in certain areas. And it was amazing to me and so saddening, because I felt that, my mother especially would never get to know the full blossoming of me as a spirit, because she cannot accept the fact that I happen to love a woman now, or that I happen to like to hug trees and whip people's asses. And, you know, I found this, I was playing around on the internet the other day, and it really struck me, and I thought, I wish I could send this to my mother without her freaking out. You know, I want to respect her. She's just not there, and, you know, she's made that clear. But I would send her this, and I found it, and I thought it was so cool. This is the masochist desires to experience stronger sensations, but desires mostly that it should be inflicted with love. And the sadist desires to inflict those stronger sensations, but mostly desires that it be felt as love. And so I thought, wow, that's exactly what I've been trying to get across. But, you know, if you don't recognize love as universal and in everything and in every act, then that's not going to make sense to you. So, you know, we love from afar. Let's just put it that way with my family. So that's kind of how it is. So I found a new family.
Right. And that's one nice thing about leather. You can create your own family as you go.
I love that. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, that's all I have tonight, ladies. Gentlemen, do you have any questions? Anything you'd like to ask Slave Ivy and Capricorn Witch?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground there.
I think so, too. I think the podcast will be wonderful.
What about the ladies? Anything that you wish to add?
I would just, this is Capricorn, I'd like to just say that, you know, it's been a true pleasure and an honor to be asked to provide some insight into our little world here and to serve the community. I hope that it serves the community for its betterment. We, Slave Ivy and I, are on a path to, now that we've found others like us and the leather lifestyle, it is, we've taken it as our purpose and mission to help support others finding their way. We do that by, you know, attending some leather events, but also helping others connect with like minds. We're doing that by underwriting one of the scholarships at one of the conferences and a few things. So that's kind of where we live is, you know, it took us a long time to get here, and we're fortunate in our life at this time to be able to have the capability financially to be able to go to conferences and meet others and do things. And we feel that giving our way of giving back to the leather community is to help others get there who may not do so simply because of, you know, the finances. We've all had some challenges in the last few years, and it's such a benefit. It is such a coming home. It is such a family that I think, you know, we are compelled to do so. So that's kind of where we live. That's our service to the community. And we thank you for allowing us to share our little piece of it with you.
We really appreciate you all taking time from your busy, busy lives, and definitely hope to catch you itself in 2015.
Yes, thank you
Absolutely.
Very much.
Jason with the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. I just want to take a second and say, have you looked at ncsfreedom.org to find out what we're doing to help you? Help us. Come find out what we're doing at ncsfreedom.org.
You have been listening to episode 34 of the Kinky Cast. Today we featured the Capricorn Witch and her slave Ivy. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and Chrissy, I'm Max. See you next week when we hear from Sybil Hollanday.